This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Mike Tenura is now here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, let's get started. In the northwestern Corn Belt, rainfall there, I think, is already beginning, and they may not need it exactly.
They could use a little bit of rain in the spring wheat belt, but the problem is that as it rains, it slows down spring wheat planting and corn planting. This is all beginning today in North Dakota and Minnesota, and it extends into Nebraska, South Dakota, and eventually some of these wet areas of southern Minnesota and northern Iowa by the time we get into Saturday afternoon and more so Saturday night. So a planting window is opening, but it's also going to close here within a few days.
And then if we think about the rest of the Corn Belt, what I'm hearing from producers is that they believe it to be dry, though what I'm also hearing from the state statisticians in their weekly reports for crop progress, the audio, is that subsoil and topsoil moisture isn't in bad condition yet.
Well, we're seeing that in our data as well. If you look at rainfall over the last 30 days and weight it by U.S. corn and soybean production, you'll come to the conclusion that the current period of rainfall is actually the driest in May for U.S. corn and soybeans since any date going back to 2012 in the month of May. So that tells us that the coverage of 30-day dryness right now is actually higher than it was at the onset of the drought in 2012. But before you get too excited, this explains why you're seeing some mixed conditions or mixed interpretations of what's happening. If you look at rainfall over the last 90 days, which is a better indicator of long-term drought, we don't see anything alarming. The coverage of 90-day dryness on U.S. corn only includes about 11% of production. In 2012 on this date, it included 24% of production, and it marched on higher right into August. So we need a lot of things to happen here for it to start become alarming. And we do have rain in the forecast over the next 1 to 2 weeks. If those rains were to fail, then we might have some more to talk about.
And one other item I think that might be of interest. We know that April was one of the coldest on record. However, it seems that May has been really warm.
You're absolutely right. May is very likely going to rank as number 9 warmest since 1895. And that follows the number 2 coldest April since 1895. The differential between April and May will smash every record going back 124 years. So this is unprecedented what we're going through, transitioning from that very cold April to this very warm May. The interesting thing is that if we look at some of these other years that have these real big transitions, if we take the 25 largest transitions between April and May temperatures, we don't see a whole lot for July and August. We don't have a clear deviation to the cool, warm, dry, or wet side in the key summer period for corn and soybeans. The same thing is true when you isolate out the very coldest of Aprils. There's not much clue there as to what might come up later on in the summer. The only thing that is interesting is that if you look at the very warmest of Mays, and again, this will rank among the very warmest of Mays, for the most part, you see the same thing. There's just not a clear deviation to the cool, dry, wet, or warm side. But here's the one thing that's interesting. Of the worst growing seasons that we know of, going all the way back to the 1890s, 6 of those very bad ones did follow the warmest Mays. That was in 1934, 1936, 1955, 1988, 1991, and 2012. So this just tells us that even though we don't have a very good clue as to what's going to happen this summer, the risk is not reduced. If anything, the risk is the same as always, maybe even a little bit higher going forward.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Always great being here, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago.